The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Experience of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Gardwell. Now let's jump straight into AAA. The first story we have today is Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady and his wife Giselle have hired divorce lawyers. What are y'all's thoughts on this?
I think it's a long time coming. I think, back in September last month, an anonymous source said that those two were currently living in separate houses, but were continuing to try and work things out. And I think with him coming back to play football, and his age, and we never want to speculate what's going on in between someone's marriage or anything, but I think it has been a long time coming, and we're not going to know the details, but it's an interesting thing to think about, not just for for them, but also Tom Brady's future in the NFL. What do you think about that, Nathan?
Well, I mean, you looked at this offseason and Tom Brady, saying that he would retire and then, coming back because he wanted to play more. And obviously, Giselle disagreed with this decision. And I know she wanted him to be more involved with, the kids and everything like that. And now with, the NFL season going on, he doesn't have time for that. And I think that was a big worry for her. And, it's headed in this direction, unfortunately.
It's really unfortunate that their family has to split up just because he decided to play football again. Moving to the second story, Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green is taking time away from the team after an altercation between him and Warriors guard Jordan Poole last Wednesday. I don't know if y'all were able to see the video yet, but it was pretty uncalled for what he did. What do y'all think?
I don't know what Poole said to Draymond Green. There were things what people thought what he said to Draymond to get Draymond to not just act on his temper, but act on it the way that he did and throw the punch like that and connect with the punch like that. I mean, if you've seen the video, just like Alex said, it's crazy. And now the Warriors are trying to investigate how that video was leaked. How did TMZ get that video? Because they wanted to keep it very, very private. Nathan, I want to hear your thoughts on what should Draymond's punishment be for this outside of just taking a break from the team?
Yeah, as you said, he's taking a break from the team. And unfortunately, I don't think that's enough. I think he really needs to be suspended for a little bit. I mean, it's totally uncalled for you to, take such a violent act on your teammate, no matter what he said to you or, what happened before. And then, of course, you had the whole issue with the video getting leaked. And I'm sure that they'll find out eventually what happened and take care of that. So, I mean, Alex, what are your thoughts?
I just think, like I said, it was totally uncalled for, regardless of what he said. You should never go up to and try to fight your teammate. I think the Warriors did the best they could handling this internally. But, somebody decided to leak it, which prompted Draymond to have to go have a public apology. Mm-hmm. And I just think Draymond needs to be suspended, like you said, Nathan, and they can move on from there. The third and final story for AAA today is the Carolina Panthers have fired head coach Matt Rhule after three seasons. Defensive pass game coordinator Steve Wilks has been named interim head coach. Gray, I know you're the Carolina Panthers fan here. So what do you think after three seasons?
Just like I mentioned in the Tom Brady and Giselle splitting up, this has been a long time coming for this. I mean, this should have happened ages ago. The 1-4 start is only the cherry on top for this firing. And just like he struggled to ever find momentum in the offense, especially, struggled to find a quarterback capable of having that sustained success year after year after year. He had quarterbacks like Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton played for him for a bit, and then now Baker Mayfield. And you never saw that jump that you can see from a team like the Panthers with the talent that they have, even on defense, with guys like J.C. Horn, Brian Burns, Derek Brown, and then on offense with Christian McCaffrey, D.J. Moore, and others. This has been a long time coming. I think the Panthers have a chance now to go out and find a guy who can work with that team's success and an already built talent and try and build them up from there. Nathan, I know you're not a Panthers fan, and you're looking at this from a little bit of an outsider perspective than I am. What do you think? What do you think about this firing?
Well, I mean, the first thing is to look at his overall record as the Panthers head coach. He was 11-27, which, you know, of course, as an NFL fan, you don't want to like look at an overall record of a coach and say, you know, that's just it. You know, he needs to be gone, because you do have situations where it takes time to rebuild. But unfortunately, after 3 years and the talent he's had, and this is the record he's put up, and it was definitely his time to go here. What do you think, Alex?
I just think it is time to go. But he made some pretty bonehead decisions, in my opinion. I mean, he hired Joe Brady. He got frustrated with him, kind of used him as a scapegoat, fired him, and then hired the former Giants head coach, Ben McAdoo, which I think was a terrible decision. I think that really kind of ended his, before it started this season. His play calling has just been putrid, even worse than Joe Brady's. But I just think Matt Rhule, even though he's gone from the Panthers, I think he will have success finding a job in college football.
Yes.
All right, Nathan, you can take over for college football this weekend. What do you got for us?
So our first game is number one Alabama versus Texas A&M. I went to this game, and unfortunately, it was definitely not what I wanted to see. Jalen Milroe had a total of 3 turnovers with 1 interception and 2 fumbles lost. He definitely was not able to pass the ball extremely well, although he ended up with 3 touchdown passes. He did have 17 carries for 83 yards. And then Jahmyr Gibbs had another huge game with 21 carries and 154 yards. It was just – it's one of those games where Alabama could have put it away early, and we just kept making mental errors one after another, and it kept them in the game. And unfortunately, it came down to the last play where Terrion Arnold had to make a big defensive stop. And, you know, you had moments on that final last defensive drive where Terrion Arnold, you know, got beat. He had the – face mask, which made him down the field more. And, you know, it's easy for someone like that to, you know, be all negative and, you know, come out that last play and give up that touchdown. But I like how Terrion Arnold stayed with it. And, you know, they got it done this weekend, and we'll look forward to next weekend against Tennessee. But Gray, I really wanted to get your thoughts on this as, you know, an Auburn fan and someone who, you know, has an outside perspective. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you give props to Texas A&M. Especially, you know, coming off the win against Alabama last year, and then the whole problems with the quarterbacks that they've had so far this year and the problems in the previous games, you saw Texas A&M come out and fix most of those problems for a big portion of this game, actually. But just like you said, this is a game that Alabama could have and should have put away way earlier when it was 7-0 after that punt fest that they had when they went down and scored. I think that's when Alabama should have put their foot on the gas and, you know, ended it right there. But again, yes, they just kept making mental errors. And about that last drive, I mean, the last drive was a great drive from Texas A&M. You saw Alabama make some mental errors with the pass interference as well as the face mask, that, like you mentioned. But the last play call, we're gonna have to talk to Jimbo Fisher or something. That, what are you? There's 3 seconds left. You're at the 2-yard line. What, as an Auburn fan, as somebody that was rooting for Alabama to lose in this game, I know y'all are going to hate me for saying that, but you, what was that play call? An outside throw to a guy? No, absolutely not. But again, just like you said, this should not have been as close as it was. It was 24-20, but it's a good, solid SEC win for Alabama.
Yeah, I have to chime in on that, Gray. The reason that play was the way it was for Texas A&M is the receiver didn't run the route properly. He's supposed to go deeper into the end zone and cut back out, but I guess he got nervous or something, and he just kind of halfway did it and cut back a little too far. So I think that's the reason that play didn't work. And referencing the offensive play calling from Bill O'Brien, he kind of struggled to let Jalen Milroe throw the ball around. He didn't push the ball down the field at all, and I think that really spelled the doom for that offense. But the defense really stepped up in place of the offense and got 3 sacks, 6 TFLs, and 14 QB hurries. I think that was great output by them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I paid attention to the most is, you know, we gifted Texas A&M 17 points off turnovers, which in that game, I mean, they scored 20 points. That's huge. That is 17 of their 20 points. Looking at that. So, you know, now let's move on to Auburn versus number 2 Georgia, where Georgia was able to win 42-10. Gray, What's your thoughts on this?
Again, just like we said last week, this is Gray's mental breakdown segment. The Auburn game. Look, we were talking pre-show about how that we don't think Brian Harsin should still have a job. And there's no reason we should be recording right now without talking about how Brian Harsin has been fired at Auburn. Robbie Ashford comes in, his first career road start, his third start, you know, in general, really struggles to get, you know, the offense moving. The defense, especially before the fake punt that we attempted to give the Georgia the ball at the 30-yard line, was great. They were playing outstanding. They were Georgia couldn't get anything on offense, and we saw that, you know, with Georgia a few weeks ago and last week with Kent State when they played Kent State and against Missouri. But it was just like once Georgia got that one score, got that one momentum play, which was that right after the fake punt that we did, which I'll never understand, especially with the defense playing like that. Once they had that, they had complete control of the entire game, offensively and defensively. Robbie obviously could not get anything to go. Tank only had 10 carries for 19 yards because he is having to juke a guy 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. There was one play, it was a 3rd and 8. And we're at the 40-yard line. We were kind of driving. We're at the Georgia 40-yard line. And Tank's and the pistol, and we just turn around and hand it to him. That's completely fine. And I'm okay with that, especially with Robbie, you know, being more of a running quarterback. But number 55, Brendan Coffey, who was the backup right tackle who was in due to an injury to Killian Zaire, just let Nolan Smith run right by him and tackle Tank for a loss of 4. And then we had a punt. It was so many situations that the offensive line was putting us in worse and worse situations. We just couldn't move the ball down the field. And again, Georgia just was able to feed off of their defensive momentum and had some nice offensive plays, just like the Stenson Bennett 64-yard touchdown run, which I would say that fifth-year walk-on quarterback looked like Michael Vick.
Yeah, and just watching that game, Georgia just wore Auburn's defense down with all that rushing they had. I think at halftime, Stetson Bennett only had like 15 yards passing or something.
Yeah,
but the rushing attack from Georgia really wore down that Auburn defense and led to their win there. Nathan, what do you think about it?
Well, the first thing I look at is that Robbie Ashford had a 34% completion percentage. He was 13 of 38, which is not, you know, a successful plan to win a football game. And
exactly, yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't really blame it all on him.
He got put in.
Yeah.
He was running in the backfield the whole time trying to escape these defenders, where the offensive line was, you know, sitting on the field, just, you know, looking for butterflies and stuff like that. So it's really a huge question is what is going on down there? And, you know, unfortunately, I think the only answer is you gotta clean house. You gotta get rid of Brian Harsin as your head coach.
Oh, that smack talk worked for Auburn there.
Yeah.
So now let's take a look at our game of the week, number 8 Tennessee versus number 25 LSU. Tennessee won 40-13, and it wasn't close at all. So great. I'm gonna go ahead and let you take an inside look on how Tennessee demolished LSU.
Look, I don't know how or who snuck LSU into the top 25 this past week. After struggling against Auburn and Jordan Hare a week before, they come back to home, play an 11 a.m. game against a very good and very hot Tennessee team right now. And Tennessee just was clicking on all cylinders, just absolutely amazing, moving the ball down the field with will. You know, Jaden Daniels ended up with 300 yards passing, which is a lot better than his 80 yards passing against Auburn. But you never saw LSU get momentum at all. If it wasn't for a busted coverage, Tennessee would have won this game 40-6. Hendon Hooker looked fantastic. Alex, what are your thoughts on this Tennessee team right now?
It's going to be a big test for Alabama this weekend, just with Hendon Hooker. He hasn't done interception this season, and Alabama really thrives off getting some turnovers and forcing some bad decisions from quarterbacks. Also, the Tennessee wide receivers, very tall. So Alabama struggled with tall receivers this weekend with Evan Stewart dominating Terry Arnold multiple times throughout the game. So look for that Alabama's defense to really work hard this week and try to game plan for that Tennessee offense.
Well, you know, when I, you know, turned on this game at 11 a.m. bright and early, the first you know, play I saw was a kickoff where LSU basically just gave Tennessee the ball, and it was pretty obvious they didn't want it, and then
they didn't feel like it.
Yeah, so Tennessee had great field position the first three possessions, I believe. And at that point, I had turned the game off. It was already over. I knew LSU did not have the firepower to, you know, sustain this Tennessee offense and, you know, score points. And, you know, as you can see, that's what we saw in the final score. And, you know, it's still a major question mark for LSU's offense. You know, Kayshon Boutte, he, you know, had a lot of drops again. And that's something we've repeatedly seen over the course of, you know, this season. And, you know, it's really a question, can he figure it out? Can Jaden Daniels, you know, get some chemistry going with these wide receivers before, you know, they play someone like Alabama going forward? So now we'll go into some other big games this weekend. You had number 17, TCU, and they unfortunately knocked off the undefeated Kansas 38-31. And then you had number 23, Mississippi State, beating Arkansas 40-17. Crazy score right there. And then Texas with a brutal beatdown of Oklahoma 49-0. I don't think I saw that one coming.
That was hilarious.
No, yeah, it was.
Hilarious.
And then number 18, UCLA, beat number 11, Utah, 42-32. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch that game. Then you had Arizona State beating number 21, Washington, 45-38. South Carolina beating Kentucky, 24-14. And Notre Dame beating number 16, BYU, 28-20. So, you know, now I kind of want to get into, you know, coaches on the hot seat. Obviously, top coach, Brian Harsin, great. I want to hear your thoughts on what should happen right now.
Yes, I think he should be fired. I think what they will end up doing, especially since Auburn currently has an interim athletic director and does not have a permanent athletic director at the moment and are currently searching for one, I think once the athletic director is hired, that's when they make the move. And it would be better for them to do it in between, you know, late November to December, because that's when the buyout drops from $18 million to $15 million. And so obviously, like, you get your athletic director in and then you fire him and you save some money. That's obviously the better thing to do. Just let, you know, finish out the season in absolute pain. Might as well. So talking about some possible replacements, though, obviously you think about a guy like Hugh Freeze, who has SEC connections, who, you know, perform well in the SEC. Don't know how Greg Sankey is going to think about that with the problems that he had at Ole Miss, why he went to Liberty. But that would be a solid hire. That's a guy that has shown that he's, you know, done well at every place that he's gone. Another guy to look for is one of our former offensive line coaches, Jeff Grimes, who's currently the Baylor offensive line coach. He, you know, obviously the connections to Auburn, that's a big deal. And that's one of the only ones that we have on this list that actually has connections to Auburn that would be a good hire, because the other one is Gus Malzahn, and we're not doing that again. But you see the Auburn connections, and he has shown that he's a really good offensive line recruiter, and that's what we need. That's literally all we need right now. So, I mean, obviously, that's appealing. Some other guys to watch out for, obviously, Matt Rhule, who was just fired by Carolina today. So you want to see, just like we said, he may jump, make the jump back to college where he was very successful at Baylor. Maybe we see him, you know, fill in Auburn or Alabama's offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien. I don't like that one as much, but he's a good, he's shown that he's been a good recruiter. He's just got to figure out the play calling aspects. I know you guys know about that.
Yeah,
The other two that everybody is talking about is the Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin and Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders. There's problems with those. Obviously, Deion, I do not think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants to make a jump to a big school, even though obviously it would be appealing to, you know, to play at a or coach at a higher competition, especially at a place like Auburn where you are playing the best competition every year, Georgia, Alabama. You know, you're in the SEC, you're in the heart of Alabama, you're recruiting against guys like them, like Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, you know, LSU, all these teams. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's perfectly fine at Jackson State where he's at right now. I think that's what he wants to do. And Lane Kiffin, I don't think you're going to be able to pull him from Ole Miss. Obviously, yes, that's appealing. That would be my number one if I think it was available. There are reports that you know, money's not an issue trying to pull him away from Lane Kiffin with the boosters at Auburn, but that's a tough pull from go to SEC West to SEC West, like especially state to state. You can't, you know, that's unheard of before. That is very unheard of, especially to come to a place that's a lower point currently than where he's already built up Ole Miss. And obviously we'll see about that this weekend when Ole Miss inevitably beats Auburn in Oxford.
Yeah, that's going to be something to watch right there. So another head coach we have is Stanford coach David Shaw, and their team is 1-4 right now. And unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time to watch some of these Pac-12 teams. I don't know if you have, Gray or Alex. Yeah. And so I would please give your thoughts.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of watching Stanford's putrid team for the past few years. But just looking at like the records and the scores that they've had, it just hasn't been the same since like Andrew Luck was there. And David Shaw just kind of like skated under the weather just with this average team, average record every year. And I think he gets a bye because it's Stanford and private university and everything. But I think it's about time that they cut the cord on this and let David Shaw go. I think there's some good options with Stanford alumni, with Texas A&M defensive coordinator DJ Durkin and Oklahoma State defensive coordinator Derek Mason. I think those are two good options to replace David Shaw. Gray, what about you?
Yeah, I think this is a long time coming. That this would be, just like you said, it would be 8-figure buyout. Obviously, you're going to have 8-figure buyouts, but yeah, some of the candidates just seem better than David Shaw. Just like you mentioned, David Shaw, obviously Stanford, just like you said, hasn't been the same since a guy like Andrew Luck in the early, you know, 2010s. We haven't seen that Stanford Cardinal, you know, effect in the Pac-12 in a long time. But I, just like you said, I really like Derek Mason. Obviously, when he was at Auburn, he had some really high highs and some really low lows. But you've seen, you know, some kind of success at Oklahoma State this past year. I think that'd be a great get to put him back in a head coaching position for Stanford.
Yeah, the next coach, you know, we can look over. I don't really think he's on the hot seat anymore. I think it's kind of cooled down a little bit for him based off the game from the past weekend. But Texas A&M's Jimbo Fisher, team is now 3-3. He has a similar, you know, overall career record at Texas A&M compared to
Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin. Thank you. But, you know, right now it would be the most expensive buyout. And unfortunately, I don't think it's time for Texas A&M fans to wave the white flag for Jimbo. I mean, especially after this weekend where he's shown he can compete against top tier, you know, talent, stuff like that. Right. What are your thoughts on this situation?
I think the whole thing with Texas A&M is recruiting. You saw the impact of the $30 million recruiting class that they had this year, having the number two class in the country, I'm pretty sure, or the number one class. So I think they just need to be patient. It'll take some time. Yes, you're going to have losses to App State, your Texas A&M. It's just going to happen. But you can't pull $85.6 million to fire a guy who just got the number two class in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Alex, what are your thoughts on Jimbo Fisher's situation right now?
I think he needs to give up offensive play calling. The offense, besides the Alabama game, really hasn't been there. I just think he needs to get that up, and maybe we'll see an improvement there.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm gonna go ahead and move on to Louisville coach Scott Satterfield. I mean, team is 3-3 right now. I don't think their record shows really how, you know, poorly they've performed this season. Right? I mean, I know you've had time to watch a few games. Has Louisville, you know, really, you know, come to attention at all in this play calling?
Absolutely. I think Scott Satterfield is not a bad coach. I think the Louisville standard, especially with the quarterbacks like Lamar in the past and then Malik Cunningham now, you've got to have, you know, sustained success at a place like Louisville. And there's some great options that you can go out because the buyout is only $4.8 million. I think Louisville could easily make the switch to somebody like Jamie Chadwell or from Coastal Carolina, or even a guy like Jeff Brom, the Purdue head coach who played at Louisville, who declined a head coaching job at Louisville before they hired Scott Satterfield. Alex, what do you think? Who do you think could be that next guy for Louisville?
I think they could go ahead and rehire Charlie Strong. He had really good success there at Louisville, left to go to Texas, didn't really do well there, but I think they could go back and hire him. He's at Miami right now, but I think that's the guy you want to key on. if you're Louisville.
Yeah, I think Charlie Strong would be a good fit there. Another, you know, possible hot seat is Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz. The team is currently 2-4, and after they've, you know, played against, you know, teams like Georgia and Florida and Auburn, and they've come really close, and they just haven't gotten it done. You haven't really seen the success you wanted over the past few years, especially after joining the SEC. It's kind of been a downhill trend. And now, you know, you're looking at Eli Drinkwitz possibly being on the hot seat. Who would you like to replace him if he did get fired, Gray?
Again, I think Jamie Chadwell is a great option for any of these. They're not higher tier, more like middle of the pack or lower of the pack of their conference, but Power Five schools. I think Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina would be absolutely, absolutely perfect. Another name is Kent State head coach Sean Lewis. I think both of those guys, if they can make that jump, they can make that jump to Missouri, and they can get Missouri back to a certain spot of the in the SEC East where they're not bottom tier. I don't think they're a kind of school that will be higher than Georgia, higher than Florida, higher than Tennessee, but competing with teams like Kentucky and South Carolina and obviously Vanderbilt is what they where they need to be. But I don't know if Eli Drinkwitz is on the hot seat, even though they're 2-4, even though they struggled a little bit last year. The close game at Auburn, I mean, they're a drop ball from winning at Auburn. They're up one or two plays from beating Georgia. They're one or two plays from beating Florida. So I don't know. What about you, Alex?
I think somebody like the USC defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, who was a former graduate assistant at Missouri, would be a good option. He has that USC defense playing some inspired football, getting a lot of turnovers against their opponents. But I think UCF head coach Gus Malzahn is also a good option. He has an SEC experience. He's a proven winner in the conference. So I think he's a good option, even though he had kind of a falling out with Auburn. But I think he's a good hire for Missouri if he was.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely pretty crazy to see Gus Malzahn at Missouri. It'd be kind of really weird to see. So now I'm going to hand it off to Gray. He's going to do our NFL recap.
Yeah, it's time to recap the NFL for the weekend. Obviously, our game of the week was the Eagles versus Cardinals, and it lived up to the hype. The Eagles ended up winning and staying undefeated 20-17. Of course, the winning field or the tying field goal from Matt Amendola, the backup kicker for the Cardinals, was missed. The game would have been set to overtime. Amendola was just elevated to the active roster due to the hip injury to the starter Matt Prater. But how about Philadelphia's go ahead 70 yard drive that lasted nearly 8 minutes for them to go up in this game? Obviously, some key stats in the game. The Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts is 26 of 36 for 239 yards. He also had 15 carries for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hurts obviously continuing to build his MVP type of season, an MVP type of candidate right now, especially since they're undefeated. Obviously, Miles Sanders also had a good game, 15 carries for 58 yards. And then tight end Dallas Goedert had 8 receptions for 95 yards, and wide receiver Devontae Smith had 10 receptions for 87 yards. And then some of the stats for the Cardinals were quarterback Kyler Murray went 28 of 42 for 250 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He also had 4 carries for 42 yards. And then wide receiver Marquise Brown had 8 receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown, which I need that for my fantasy team. And then wide receiver Rondale Moore had 7 receptions for 68 yards. Guys, what are your thoughts on this great game that lived up to be the game of the week?
So, you know, I unfortunately didn't get a chance to really watch it all the way through, but I've seen Jalen Hurts play over the past few weeks, and he has proven himself as, you know, this great franchise quarterback. Of course, you know, he can run the ball extremely well. I know he broke Cam Newton's, you know, rushing touchdown record throughout 25 career starts, and he's only, you know, started 24 games. So that's something to look forward to if you're an Eagles fan. And if you're a Cardinals fan, you know, you're looking at this game like, hey, you played the, you know, best team in the NFL, like, to the final snap. And unfortunately, you did miss the, you know, final field goal to put you into overtime. But, you know, you kind of look at the situation and say, if that's Matt Prater kicking that field goal, then I like to think they go into overtime. And, you know, you never know what happens once you go into overtime. Alex, what do you think?
I'm on that Jalen Hurts hype train for MVP. I think he played really well, and the Eagles continue to play really well as a team. Definitely think they're Super Bowl contenders at this current moment.
yeah, that's definitely something to see. And, you know, now we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to go ahead and skip forward to our, you know, upcoming games for college football. You know, right ahead, our game of the week is going to be number 5 Michigan versus number 10 Penn State. And then, of course, you have games like number 3 Alabama at number 6 Tennessee. That's a big one right there. And then, of course, we mentioned number 9 Ole Miss versus Auburn. Any games stick out to you that I haven't mentioned?
That you have, obviously, the Alabama-Tennessee game is the one I'm most excited about. I'm interested to see the responses from both Kansas and Oklahoma as they play each other in Norman this week. Obviously, Kansas coming off the close loss to TCU, and then Oklahoma after getting absolutely dismantled by Texas. Where do those two respond? What about you, Alex?
I think number 8 Oklahoma State versus number 13 TCU, very big identifier there for who's going to be maybe the winner of the Big 12. And also number 15 NC State versus number 18 Syracuse.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be an interesting game. I think that would be my pick. Gray, what do we have coming up in the NFL this weekend?
Yeah, obviously some of the game, our game of the week is the Bills versus Chiefs. Very excited about that. You also have Cowboys, Eagles, and then Broncos, Chargers, Bengals versus Saints, Vikings versus Dolphins, and some of the other games, Panthers versus Rams, Cardinals versus Seahawks. What are some of the games that stick out to you besides our game of the week, the Bills versus Chiefs?
For me, it'd be the Cowboys versus Eagles. Sorry to cut you off, Nathan.
That's mine too, right there. That's a huge game, huge divisional matchup.
Yep, be interesting to see if Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott start that game.
Oh yeah, I think Cooper Rush has had some great success with the Cowboys, and I like to see him continue.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.